We're talking about democracy. Heard a piece on the radio this morning about democracy, and I'm going to give you my take on that. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. It's June 2022. Listen to Steve Bannon this morning, and of course, Steve is great. He turns around and he plays all the spots that his enemies play about him. So his enemies are out there, MSNBC, Atlantic Magazine, Rachel Maddow, whoever it is. And they're just trashing him on TV. They're trashing him on whatever show there's on. And Steve relishes in it. He just turns it up. He turns around and repeats it to his whole audience and laughs at them and mocks them. And he's doing the right thing. That's the way you got to do it. You can't defend yourself. And this is why I go to the heart of this stuff about being racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, or Islamophobic. Stop defending yourself. Laugh at them. Mock them. Let you call you their names. And that's what Steve Bannon does. They are riffing on him today about Bannon, the American Rasputin. And he just rolls with it. He's an excellent role model because he's showing you that you cannot and you should not be afraid of them. But you know who the greatest role model on that was? It was Jesus Christ. All right, they trashed him. They trashed him day and night. They trashed him right and left. They said he's full of demons. They said he cast out demons by the power of demons. They say it is. They said John the Baptist was insane and had a demon. Slandered his mother, called her mother basically a whore. And Christ kept on speaking, kept on talking. You will never see Jesus Christ being defensive before the Pharisees, ever. He's never defensive before his accusers. He's never defensive before the Jews. He just said, this is, I am what I am. I said what I said, and that's not going to change. And I laugh and I mock at these quote-unquote Christians who run around and try to prove that they're not what the enemy accuses them of being. Why are you worried about what Satan thinks of you? Why are you worried about what Satan's disciples think of you? Why are you worried about what the seed of the serpent says of you? They call you racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, and anti-Semitic. So what? So what? Jesus Christ said, hey, if they called me Beelzebul, what do y'all think they're going to call you? Well, we live in a society in 2022 that does not even believe in Satan, doesn't believe in Beelzebul, doesn't believe in the devil. But we live in a society that we've created a new Satan. We call him Hitler. We call him Nazi. We call him fascist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic. But get this into your minds. I'm telling you, get this into your minds. When you they call you those things, they expect you to jump and dance. What's that thing? What happens in grade school? Don't step on a crack. You're walking down a sidewalk. Don't step on a crack. And they keep putting more cracks in the sidewalk. And you got you dancing so fast, you're doing a jig out there. I'm not racist because. I'm not homophobic because. I'm not sexist because. I'm not Islamophobic because. I'm not anti-Semitic because. And they laugh at you. They mock you. They mock you. Why are you dancing, literally dancing to their tune? Role model number one, Jesus Christ. He didn't care. You call me what you want. Say what you want. He's marching on. He was marching on. And yeah, they killed him. So what? Killed Stephen too. Killed everybody that they could. Saul was leading the charge to arrest Christians and have them put to death. He voted to put them to death. And y'all are afraid. Oh, they're going to call me something. You want freedom? Get over that, man. You want freedom? Get over that. Stop pretending that you can please the accuser of the brethren. You can't please them. Stop pretending that somehow you can satisfy them. They'll just come up with something else. The latest is he's a Christo fascist. And there have been a number of articles out there slamming Christian nationalism. You know, it's called the Great Commission. It's called the Great Commission to convert the nations, to bring discipline to the nations, to disciple the nations. The church over the last 200 years has reduced and reduced and reduced itself so that it is meaningless. What's the proof of that? It's the condition of your society, Australian, Canadian, Swede, German, Frenchman, American. It's the condition of your society while they're jamming sexual abuse on your kids in public schools, in government schools. Jamming it down their throats. Sexual abuse. And it, we should even have to raise a finger or a voice to fight it. It ought to be naturally rejected. Yet our hair's on fire trying to keep this stuff out of the schools. Why? Because we've abandoned Jesus Christ as a nation, as a nation, as a nation. People say, oh, he's my personal savior. I have a personal relationship. He's it's not a religion, it's a relation. And so you reduce Jesus Christ to meaninglessness. He's the creator of the universe. He's the king of every king. He's the Lord over every nation. Act like it, Christian. Speak like it, Christian. And when they want to have their meltdowns, laugh at them, mock them. That's what God does. That's what God says. Psalm chapter 2, the Lord sits in the heavens and laughs. He mocks them. He mocks them. Why are the heathen in a rage? He mocks them. Why are you so afraid? Oh, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus, but not in Christian nationalism. Stop running scared, man. Man up. Embrace it. Laugh at them. Mock them like your God and Father does. He sits in the heavens and laughs. Who's that? It's Jesus Christ. He laughs at the nations. He mocks them. We're going to build Christian nations here on earth, here in North America, here in the United States. If the United States will not serve Jesus Christ, it will be destroyed. And we're in the process of destroying ourselves right now. You're going to teach sexual abuse to kids? You're going to go into our public schools and abuse them sexually and say that's good? I have no words for that. I have no words for that. You're going to call inciting little kids into homosexuality and transgenderism good? You ought to be treated like a child abuser. Every one of you, from the teachers to the principals to the counselors to the textbook sellers to the priests and the pastors that promote this stuff and the dads that let it happen, to the policemen that protect these people. You're a child abuser. You're part of the system, just like Jeffrey Epstein and all of his enablers and everybody going over there. This is evil. It's time. It's, you know, when they're after the children, it's time to stand up and speak your voice. Time to stand up and speak your voice. If you can't now, well, you're a traitor. You're a traitor to the king. You're a traitor to the country. You're a traitor to the children. What's the greatest thing Satan fears? Your voice. Your voice. Open up your mouth and speak. Everything flows out. Mouse said power flows from the barrel again. Fine. I'll tell you this. Jesus Christ said, open up your voice. Open up your mouth and speak. Open up your voice. Open up your mouth. Let the truth flow. Truth dispels darkness. There's only one thing that can dispel darkness. That's the light. How do you get the light? We preach Jesus Christ from Genesis through the Revelation. Jesus Christ as the creator of the universe. Jesus Christ as the savior of the world, if they would have him. John 3:16, the most important word in John 3:16 is perish. And it's the one word evangelicals are afraid of saying, loath to say. Oh, God loves everybody. So we've invented a new religion. And I want to talk about that. I love to talk about how the church has gone the way of the Jews. The Jews have their Talmud. The church has their oral traditions. This is exactly what Jesus warned about. He says, don't allow the leaven of the Pharisees to come in. Oh, we embrace it. We love it. We're kinder, more tolerant people. We're kinder, more tolerant church. Jesus Christ, stay in the closet. Stay in the closet, Jesus. We don't want you. We don't need you. You're bad for marketing. And we're going to rebrand you. All right. Thought I'd get into something a little bit different, too. First of all, let's finish up on the democracy part. For the left, democracy means a set of political goals that they want to have implemented. Has nothing to do with the will of the people. Remember this. When they say democracy, it has nothing to do with citizen participation. Not any more than the dictatorship of the proletariat has. The classical Marxists of 100 years ago talked about the dictator of the proletariat. They had to come in. They had to impose this system on people because their minds had been corrupted by capitalism, Christianity, and the bourgeoisie. The quote-unquote Democrats, small-d Democrats of today, feel the same way. When they talk democracy, they're not talking about you and I participating in the system and voting as we would and organizing as we would and saying what we would say and overseeing elections. They don't care about, they don't want that. For them, when they say democracy, it's the dictatorship of the proletariat, except they use a different word. They call it democracy. For them, democracy is abortion on demand. It's LGBTQ in your grade schools. It's open borders. It's mandatory vaccinations. It's scientism. It's not science. It's atheism. It's full-on evil. It's the governance by the billionaires and by the woke political class. The political commissars of the old Soviet Union, they were in control. They were in control. And if you said something outside of the politics approved by the political commissars, you're cashiered. You're thrown overboard. You're shot. That's who's running the show in the United States today. And New Zealand, Australia, Canada. What do you think happened in Canada? Oh, you dared showed up for a demonstration in front of your own capital? We're going to crush you and we're going to destroy you economically. Seize your bank account. Seize your trucks. That's what democracy means to them. It has nothing to do with people being involved, which is the origin of the world. Demos, the people. Rule of the people, by the people, for the people. So when somebody like Steve Bannon talks about democracy, he's talking about people being involved. He's talking about the average citizen showing up and being involved in a precinct count, being precinct committeeman, showing up and being a vote counter, being an observer at elections. Actually meeting your neighbors and talking and having an opinion, not receiving an opinion. He's talking about actual people actually out there involved in their own system of government. When the left talks about it, they mean you need to shut up and do what you're told. Because if you don't accept what we're saying, you're racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, Islamophobic. When they say democracy, they mean the dictatorship of the proletariat. That's what they mean. And they cudgel you and beat you with accusations of sins that are not sins. These are not sins. Racist, sexist, homophobic, anti-Semitic. They're not sins. And they're there to beat you into submission and warn you that if you raise a voice in opposition, you're guilty of all these sins. You're guilty of all these sins. This is what they do. And you think, oh, I'm a good little I believe in American democracy. And you listen to them, and you listen to them, and you listen to Rachel Maddow and MSNBC, Atlantic Magazine, whatever it is. You know, it's funny. It seems like 100 years now, but I did an undergraduate degree. I did a master's degree. I did a PhD. And oh, God, if you didn't hear about how the church had a monopoly on what was thought, and they had to break the monopoly of the church on imposing values on society. Well, guess who's got it now? The Antichrist have it. Oh, you can't say the Antichrist. That's mean. That's offensive. You might offend somebody, Fritz. Christian, got to get into the word. Antichrist is a Bible word. Racist is not. Antichrist is a battle Bible word. Sexist is not. Antichrist is a Bible word. Anti-Semitic is not. Why do you take your narrative from the Antichrist? Well, I just don't want to offend them. Bible says don't offend people. Then why did they murder Jesus Christ? Why did they murder Saul? Why did they try to murder Paul and Peter and James? And they tried to murder Jeremiah. Because he offended them and he got in their face. He told them the truth. Democracy for them is a political end where they get the results that their narrow-minded, self-righteous, hypocritical morality that is the opposite of morality demands. If you're against LGBTQ in grade school, you're transphobic and homophobic. If somebody's not calling you that, there's a problem with you. If somebody doesn't think you're homophobic or transphobic, there's a problem with you. Are you using that thing that God gave you below your nose and above that chin? Are you using your 10 fingers to type out something on the internet? Are you afraid of stepping on a crack? Are you afraid of stepping on a crack? Oh, I don't want to step on a crack. That's the homophobic crack. That's the transgender crack. That's the racist crack. Oh, my God. And so you keep your mouth shut and you tie up your 10 fingers in mittens and won't say a word on the internet because somebody might accuse you somewhere of violating Satan's sins, and you're terrified of being accused by the devil of violating the devil's sins. Free yourself, man. Free yourself. You're living in bondage that God did not put on you. If somebody doesn't think you're racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, or Islamophobic, you're not opening up your mouth. You're not saying anything on the internet. You've submitted yourself to the Antichrist peoples. It's not a problem with them. It's a problem with you. Man, let me tell you something. You want to know what liberation is? I'm not saying it's not going to cost you. It's going to cost you. But liberation is when you can speak from the heart and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and call things what they are. When they say democracy, they have no inclination whatsoever to think that people ought to participate. They think it's the job of the people to submit to and be subsumed by and simply obey the proletarian, the dictatorship of the proletariat, which they've renamed democracy. They're liars, man. They've been liars from the beginning. All right, let's get into something else. I don't know why I did this, but something, I decided to do a search, a DuckDuckGo search on, is the New Testament anti-Semitic? Oh my God, there's a whole bunch of stuff about that. Is the New Testament anti-Semitic? Of course, I don't call it the New Testament. I call it the Greek scriptures because they're written 99% in Greek. So I refer to it as the Greek scriptures, written in a European language, by the way. Not written in a Semitic language. The Gospels of Jesus Christ are written in Greek, in a European language. Hello. Never thought of it that way, did you? That's why I'm here. That's why Fritz Bergen's here. Bloodandfaith.com. And there's a whole industry by the Jews out there to demonize the Holy Scriptures. It's a whole industry. Here's an article right here. The Jerusalem Post. No holds barred. Is the New Testament anti-Semitic? And he goes in there and he basically says, yes, it is, but we're winning because we're convincing the church to reject the scriptures that we object to. And boy, I've certainly seen that in my own life as people have opposed what I've had to say. You can't say that. You can't say that. You can't say that. And so here's this Jew saying how great the Talmud is, and the Talmud basically overrules the Torah. Christians don't understand this. I don't know why. The Torah refers to the books of Moses, first five books of Moses. The Talmud is the oral tradition that was later on written down several centuries after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And basically, the Talmud is their religion. The Talmud is the religion of the Jews, not the Torah. And all you got to do is put out your little pinky and scratch the surface of it with your fingernail, and you find out how true this is. In fact, all you got to do is read Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. Jesus already taught you. He already laid it out for you. He already told you if you read the Gospels of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's all there. He says, y'all say you believe in the law. You don't believe in the law. If you believed in the law, if you believed what Moses said, you would have believed in me. That's what Jesus Christ said. If you, as a church, as a Christian, want to overrule what Jesus Christ said, you've already gone the way of the Jews, which is their goal. That's their goal. That's why you get guys on the radio. There's a certain guy on the radio, little short guy with a shrill voice. Every other word is Judeo-Christian. Every other word is Judeo-Christian. He wants to talk about Judeo-Christianity. Judeo this, Judeo that. Subverting the heritage Christians, thinking that this is what it is. And it's a lie. Then you get somebody like me standing up and saying, it's a lie. Oh, there's Fritz, anti-Semitic. Maybe you need to recalibrate your morality and have your morality reflect the narrative of the Holy Scriptures, the narrative of the words in the Bible, not the narrative of Antichrist peoples with their vocabulary and their words. In any case, he goes through a big, long article, JerusalemPost.com, and there's others out there. Here's another one from Hope 1030. I have no idea who this. Anti-Semitic tone of the New Testament is not the message of Jesus. This is what I'm talking about. This is exactly the leaven of the Pharisees. They don't like what's said, and so they reinterpret it according to their traditions, the precepts of the elders. This is what has infected the church. Oh, that's not the tone of Jesus. I've talked about the tone of Jesus many, many times. And I've said the church has reinvented Jesus Christ, Jesus 2.0, to tone him down, to keep him in the closet so that he wouldn't be accused of all these sins of racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, Islamophobic. Completely reinvented Jesus Christ. Like, so the Jews don't go to the Torah, they go to the Talmud. Christians don't go to the Greek scriptures anymore. They've invented their own traditions. Oh, well, we're not homophobic because Jesus Christ loves and accepts everybody. So yeah, you want to talk about Judeo-Christianity? That's what's taken over the evangelical church. I'm not even talking about the mainland. I'm not even talking about that heretic in the Vatican, Pope Francis, who's Antichrist, fully Antichrist. Pope Francis is part of the Whore of Babylon, along with the other Antichrist movements out there, including modern Judaism, which is utterly Antichrist, utterly. Oh, I know. Here's Fritz again. He's anti-Semitic. Pull your morality out of the Holy Scriptures. Pull your morality out of the Greek Scriptures, out of the Hebrew Scriptures. Not out of the seed of the narrative of the seed of Satan. So there's this whole movement amongst Christians and Jews, the Judeo-Christian Antichrist cult, that wants to get rid of many, many, many passages in the Holy Scripture. Here's one guy, he said there's hundreds of anti-Semitic remarks in the Holy Scripture, in the Greek Scriptures. Hundreds of them. And his job was to go through and just undermine the Holy Scriptures, undermine the Word of God, and then spread those ideas into the Christian church. This is the leaven of the Pharisees. This is the leaven of the Pharisees. It's spreading. Who's going to resist that? You're going to resist that. You are. You personally. Don't wait for some Christian leader to resist it. Oh, I think, you know, Pastor so-and-so should say something about that. Don't wait for him. Stop. Don't even wait. You go yourself. If you're waiting for somebody else to do it, it's not going to happen. Well, I just don't understand why some great Christian leader won't stand up and say something. Gideon was not a great Christian leader. Least man and least house and least tribe of the house of Israel. That's who God went to. Gideon. I'm calling you Gideon. So there's this entire movement pushed by the Jews to utterly undermine the Greek scriptures. Oh, it doesn't mean that. That's anti-Semitic. That's anti-Semitic. John 8:44, anti-Semitic. Revelation 2:9, anti-Semitic. Revelation 3:9, anti-Semitic. Well, no, none of that's true because that was only in the context of a period 2,000 years ago when there was deep strife between our brothers, Christians and brothers. Nonsense. Nonsense. It's exactly what the Jews did to the Torah. No, it doesn't mean that. The Talmud is what guides us. This is what's going on in the Christian church today. No. All that stuff, no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that. And they come up with an oral tradition. They say, oh, Jesus is a Jew. Really? Really? Has anybody out there done a genealogy on the father of Jesus Christ? Who do you think the father of Jesus Christ is? A Jew? Oh, hell no. And I mean that. I mean hell no. The father of Jesus Christ is God Almighty. And genealogy in the Holy Scriptures is absolutely and purely patriarchal. All right, we're going to get to more of this. Got to run right now. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. We're just warming up, buddy. All right, part two. Part two. We got to get into what Judaism is. We got to get into what the oral traditions are, what the precepts of men are. Without understanding this concept, the precepts of the elders and the traditions of men, it is impossible to understand Judaism or the leaven of the Pharisees or the infection that is going on in the Christian church today. Jesus Christ warned very clearly, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And the disciples didn't know what he was talking about. There's probably a lot of Christians today that have no idea what I'm talking about when I say what Christ said, which is to beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Is it because we don't have bread? What's going on? Jesus Christ said, hey, it's their doctrines. It's their doctrines. The Jews had the Torah. Torah, the books of Moses, the first five books of Moses. And they said, well, at the same time that Moses got those, he got some oral traditions, you know, 1,000 years ago. And we've just, you know, we've sort of orally passed down these traditions, the traditions of the elders, the precepts of men. And so when the Pharisees came along, they had their precepts and the scribes had their precepts and their doctrines. And this was the center of Judaism. This is why Jesus Christ hated them. Look, read through the Gospels, and we're going to get to Jewish sources that will back me up on this. And ask yourself if Jesus Christ had a cozy relationship with the Pharisees. Answer is he did not. Or the Sadducees. Or the Sanhedrin. Or the scribes. He did not. It was one of constant enmity, and that enmity goes back right to Genesis 3:15. So these traditions overtook the word of God. They overtook the law and the commandment and the scriptures and the prophets. And what we find is two or three centuries after the destruction of Jerusalem, the Jews as embodied in the class of the Pharisees, because the Sanhedrin and the Sadducees went away. When the temple went away, that whole class went away. The Sadducees and the Sanhedrin went away. And who's left? It's the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are the forebearers of today's rabbis. And where do I get this? From the Jerusalem Post, Jewish sources. I'm not inventing this. I'm not coming up with Fritz's own interpretation of Judaism. I'll go right to Jewish sources on this. I posted this at bloodandfaith.com, I don't know, like a year or two ago. Today's rabbis trace their, at least their intellectual ancestry, right back to the Pharisees in the time of Christ. So it remains relevant. All right. So my question became, is the New Testament anti-Semitic? Well, there's a lot to unpack there. First of all, I prefer to, you know, when I'm talking about a body of scriptures, I prefer to refer to the, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, and on up through the Revelation as the Greek scriptures, because they're written in Greek, which is, in fact, a European language. I refer to the Genesis through, what is it, Malachi? I refer to that as the Hebrew scriptures because they were, by and large, but not exclusively, written in Hebrew. All right, and why do I do this? Because it is important to understand that the Greek scriptures did not replace the Hebrew scriptures. Okay, the body of scriptures that are commonly referred to as the New Testament did not replace the body of scriptures commonly called the Old Testament. Now, the New Testament did absolutely replace the Old Testament, but that is not referring to a body of scriptures. And that's caused some confusion and some damage in the church because they look at 80% of the Bible and really have no idea what to do with it. So that's where I distinguish it. But in hopes of finding the answers to this, I said, well, let's see what people say about this. Is the New Testament anti-Semitic? Well, starting with that, let's, you know, what is Semitic? If you want to know what anti-Semitism is, what's Semitism? And what's a Semite? Well, it comes from the word Shem, S-H-E-M, Shem. Noah has three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. All right, and it is said that the Semitic peoples are the offspring of Shem, which would include all the Arabs, for sure. All the Arabs. as well as the people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jew is an entirely different word. It's an entirely different word. At best, you say, well, Jews are from Judah and the land of Judah, the Judahites, the people that lived in Judah. And if you recall many of what I've said, you can read this in the Gospels, Jesus Christ did not spend his life in the land of the Jews. Jesus Christ spent his life in the land of Galilee, north of Judah. Jesus had little in common with the people of Judah, the Judahites. He was from a different area. He was born in Judea. He was born in Bethlehem and immediately left because they were trying to murder him. Goes to Egypt. He comes back. The parents say, hey, nope, he can't settle. We can't settle in Judea. They move back up north where they came from in the first place. They moved to Nazareth. And we find that when Jesus Christ was of age and he was, you know, financially well off and doing whatever he was doing, moves out of mommy's house. His father has passed away by that time. Where does he go? Surely he went to Jerusalem to be the king because he's the king of Israel and he's going to go be with his people, the Jews. Jesus Christ did not move to the land of the Jews. He stayed up in Galilee. In fact, he moved farther north. He moved farther north, moves to Capernaum. He doesn't move down into the heart of Judea. He doesn't move down to Jerusalem. He doesn't move down to where the temple is. So part of the conversation has to be, what is a Semite and what is a Jew? But there's been a concerted effort to conflate the two, name them as the same, and at best confuse the issue. You've heard of Ashkenazic Jews. Well, Ashkenaz was the offspring of Japheth. And there's a very strong argument to be made by Jews themselves, that contemporary European Jewry is not a Semitic people. Jews themselves have made the argument that contemporary Jews, European Jews, Ashkenazic Jews, have nothing to do with the Semitic people. They're not Semitic people at all. They're actually come from an area around the region of the Ukraine and to the east of Ukraine. And they converted en masse to Judaism. They're known as the Khazars. And it's all out there. This is public information written by Jews for Jews. A guy named Arthur Koestler wrote The 13th Tribe. He's not the only one that's written on this stuff. DNA tests and everything. And this is not, by the way, the heart of my argument. It's not the heart of my argument at all. Even if any of that existed, it would not change anything that I have to say about Judaism. None whatsoever. I try to stick to the scriptures on this. And Jesus Christ was quite explicit, both during his lifetime and 65 years after he rose from the dead, roughly, when the book of Revelation was delivered to St. John the Divine, written about 95 AD. I think Christ was resurrected about 33 AD. Rough figures. Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. Jesus Christ, the eternal God, the Word of God, stated fact in Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9. If you want to argue with that, go ahead. But I'd rather be on the side of the Holy Scriptures than on the side of the traditions of men. And this gets to the heart of the issue that I want to talk about today. Fallen men, allegedly in the Church of God, whether it's the Church of God today or the temple worship pre-time of Christ, go out of their way to invent man-made traditions that contradict the Holy Scriptures. Don't be a part of that. I don't want to be a part of that. And the Jews did it formally. They wrote down their traditions, and it's called the Talmud. Judaism is a Talmud. It's not the books of Moses. Jesus Christ made that clear. Well, that's just your opinion, Fritz. No, it's the opinion of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, hey, if you believed in Moses, you would believe in me. And so this same movement, this Judaizing spirit, the traditions of men, the precepts of the elders, has overtaken the Christian church. I'm going to give you two examples of this. I'm going to give you one example of this, but I'm going to tell you where it comes from. Now, there is a great body of literature that that considers the Greek scriptures as anti-Semitic. Well, first of all, we've just talked about what it means to be a Semite. It means to be from Shem. Second of all, are the Ashkenazic Jews, European Jews, really from Shem? Third of all, here's the other one. Where in the Bible does it say, thou shalt not be anti-Semitic? Where does it say that? It says, thou shalt not commit adultery. It says, thou shalt not dishonor your father and your mother. It says, thou shalt not bear false witness in a court of law against your neighbors. It says, thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not commit murder. It doesn't say, thou shalt not commit anti-Semitism. This is a man-made tradition made up by Jews to protect Jews and Jews only, even though they may not even be a Semitic people, contemporary Ashkenazic European Jews. And you can make your excuses, oh, well, it really applies to them because of this and because of that. That's fine. But just recognize what you're doing, recognizing that you're following a tradition of man. And if that's your religion, that's your religion. That's the Jewish religion. And it's wide open for you to join them. It's preached every day, Judeo-Christian this, Judeo-Christian that. There's a concerted attempt to suborn faith in Jesus Christ into a man-made tradition and religion called Judeo-Christianity. This is fact, guys. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not exaggerating. All right, so one of my favorite sources is actually the Jerusalem Post, a Jewish newspaper written for Jews, by Jews, in the land of the Jews, in Israel. Called the Jerusalem Post. Here's the title. No Holds Bar. Is the New Testament Anti-Semitic? Now, this article written by Shmuley Botek. don't know the guy. He's actually very friendly towards evangelical Christians who are supporters of Israel. He says, listen, the greatest supporters of Israel and Jews right now are these evangelical Christians who emphasize the Jewishness of Jesus Christ. And so he wants to encourage this trend, the Judaizing influence on Christianity. So he's all for this, and he's going to go speak at a debate and try to defend evangelical Christians who are, in his mind, making strides to distance Christianity from the anti-Semitic tone of the New Testament. This is a perfect example of the leaven of the Pharisees. It's the perfect example of the traditions of the elders. It's the perfect example of what Jesus Christ warns against. And I've had Christians come to me and say, oh, what you're saying is anti-Semitic, and they don't want anything to do with me. Try to join an organization, a year or so ago, and they read some of my blog posts and said, well, no, we don't want anything to do with you. You're anti-Semitic. Without any even understanding what they're saying. They don't know what Semitic is. They don't know who the descendants of Shem are. They don't understand that there's potentially a complete separation between current people who claim to be Jews. For example, Donald Trump's daughter, all right, claims to be Jewish now. Good German woman. Clearly European, converted to Judaism. What are the converts to Judaism? Jesus Christ said, hey, twice the sons of hell as you are, Pharisees. And people say, oh, Fritz, that's an anti-Semitic statement you just made. What I did was I quoted Jesus Christ. This is where the church really needs to wake up. Jesus Christ said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I will be ashamed of you when I show up with before my Father and his holy angels. If you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you. I don't know you. I don't want to even know who you are. And when you bury Jesus' words, and when you renounce Jesus' words, when you distance yourself from the words of Jesus Christ, all right, fine, you've converted religions. You're now officially a Judeo-Christian. I don't want to be there. Not the road I'm going down. All right, so here's this guy talking. It's worth reading because this is a Jewish source, and he's telling you flat out that the Greek scriptures, the New Testament, is highly, highly anti-Semitic. And yet he says to the readers, but don't worry, we're converting them. We're converting them all to essentially, he doesn't say Judaism, But it's, we're converting them. We're getting them to distance themselves from those holy scriptures. It doesn't call them holy scriptures. And we're getting them to renounce those scriptures. So listen to this. He's going to go debate this guy in New York City on whether or not the New Testament contains blatant anti-Semitic statements. All right? That's what he's going to do. He goes on. This is a Jew writing for Jews by Jews. Quote, anyone who has read the Christian Bible will no doubt be alarmed by the demonization of the Jewish people that served for many centuries to enforce anti-Semitic acts and attitudes practiced throughout Christendom. He talks about, quote, Christian scripture that above all else blamed the Jews for murdering Jesus. Okay, you don't have to take my word for it. Here's a Jew saying the Holy Scriptures, what we call the Holy Scriptures, are anti-Semitic. Anyone who has read the Christian Bible will no doubt be alarmed by the demonization of Jewish people and serves as to reinforce anti-Semitic acts. All right, so his number one goal is to protect Jews and Judaism. And if the scriptures are in the way, then we got to go after the Holy Scriptures. The church has fallen into this trap. They've elevated the sin of anti-Semitism to something that's even more important than treason. So they would rather be a traitor to Jesus Christ and his words than to be accused of anti-Semitism. That's where we've gone in the Christian church. All right. Quote, how can this be? Because Christians and Catholics today are reinterpreting scripture away from a literal interpretation of the Jews as the enemy of Christ. All right. That right there, unquote, that right there is the leaven of the Pharisees. That right there is the leaven of the Pharisees. Christians and Catholics today are reinterpreting scripture away from a literal interpretation of Jews as the enemy of Christ. That's it. Written by a Jew for Jews in defense of Jews and Judaism. And he's so happy that Christians and Catholics are reinterpreting scripture away from a literal interpretation of Jews as the enemies of Christ. No plain reading of the Gospels can leave any reader with any doubt that the Jews were, in fact, the enemies of Jesus Christ. I've gone over this in bloodandfaith.com a lot. So he goes on, he says, he's talking about these Christians and Catholics, quote, they're going even further in stating that one can only understand Jesus through the lens of his Jewishness. It was to bolster this movement that I published my book in 2012, quote, Kosher Jesus, that fostered a heated debate throughout the world. Okay, unquote. All right, so this guy is saying, I'm doing everything I can to tell Christians that Jesus Christ is a Jew and to make Jesus Christ Jew positive. So if you're Jew negative, you're not a good Christian. He's trying to remake Christianity and turn it into a religion like Judaism, ruled by the traditions of the elders and the precepts of the elders. Man-made tradition. This is the heart of it. This is the leaven of the Pharisees. Quote, today there's a global movement on the part of our Christian brothers to discover the Jewishness of Jesus. And we in the Jewish community should be leading the way. All right. And then he criticizes this guy named Mike Brown, who says, quote, his ongoing desire to convert Jews to a belief in Jesus makes him a dinosaur in the Christian community. Well, there you go. There you go. Antichrist. Mike Brown's trying to convert people to Jesus Christ. This other guy, Shmuley, doesn't want that to happen. And he's trying to convince Christians to Judaize Jesus Christ from the Holy Scriptures and to remove the anti-Semitic portions of the Holy Scriptures. Quote, our Christian brothers and sisters are beginning to address anti-Semitic attitudes and verses that are part of the New Testament, period. So here's a Jew saying, absolutely, the New Testament is anti-Semitic. It is. And it's his task to get Christians to reject it. Talk about the seed of the serpent, man. All right. Then he quotes this one guy, Norman Beck, who, quote, lists 450 examples of explicitly anti-Semitic verses throughout the Synoptic Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles, unquote. And then he goes on, he says, Jews are referred to as vipers, poisonous snakes, hard-hearted, hypocrites, thieves, robbers, the blind guiding the blind.
He goes on, quote, "We are told that they reject the commandments, reject God's purpose, and plotted on multiple occasions to kill Jesus, which the New Testament says they eventually did." Unquote. This is true. It's funny how this Jew can read the New Testament, the Hebrew, the Greek scriptures, and know exactly what it says. And a Christian reads right by it and can't even see it. Continuing, quote, "The gospel according to John makes these assertions. God's word and God's love are not with the Jews. None of the Jews, what is written in the Torah, they know neither Jesus nor the Father, and they are descendants of their own father who is not God, but is Satan." John chapter 8. Okay, that's a quote from this guy. Okay, that's him. That's a Jew reading the Greek scriptures, the Jew reading the New Testament. And he says it's completely anti-Semitic. And the Christian response to this is, and so maybe there's something wrong with the whole concept of anti-Semitism. That's what the Christians should say. The Christians should say, well, hey, if Jesus Christ is anti-Semitic, if the New Testament is anti-Semitic, if the Greek scriptures are anti-Semitic, maybe the Christian should be too. Maybe the whole construct of anti-Semitism is a false idol, a tradition of man, a precept of the elders, a principle of Satan himself in order to protect an antichrist people and an antichrist worldview and an antichrist religion. But what evangelicals have done is they've exalted their man-made traditions above the Word of God, just like the Jews did. I love this Jerusalem Post article because it makes it very difficult to argue with. This is a Jew arguing for Judaism and for Jews, saying explicitly that the New Testament is anti-Semitic, and therefore we have to convince the Christians to follow the traditions of men and basically ignore what the Holy Scriptures say. This, my brothers and sisters, is the leaven of the Pharisees. And it is so useful, so helpful when the enemy does his own work for me. When the Jews come out and say, hey, listen, the Holy Scriptures themselves are not friendly to Judaism. Hey, I don't know why the Christians can't understand that. And he's very explicit. We are out there to subvert Christian thought, Christian ideas, make sure they follow the traditions that we like, and to turn Jesus Christ into a Jew. So everybody worships the Jews. That's what he says. All right, going on. He's quoting a guy named Jonah Daniel Goldhagen. This is what he says. "The anti-Semitism of the Christian Bible is not incidental, but is constitutive of its story. The Christian Bible presents its Christian faithful with a relentless and withering assault on Jews and Judaism, presented as an ontological enemy of Jesus and therefore of goodness." The scholar William Nichols put it more plainly. No uncritical reader of the New Testament could easily come away with any but the most negative opinion of Jews. Thank you, Jews, for supporting what I've been saying for 2 years now. Thank you, Jews, for supporting Fritz Bergen. Thank you very much, Jews and Judaism, for supporting exactly what Fritz Bergen has always said. And what Fritz Bergen has said is only what the Greek scriptures have said. What Fritz Bergen has said is only what Paul has said, only what Jesus Christ has said, only what the Holy Word of God has said. And they acknowledge it. They make my case for me. They make my case for me. Here's an example they give. The Roman governor Pontius Pilate tries repeatedly to have Jesus spared, but Jewish crowds beg for his execution. Have I not covered that endlessly at bloodandfaith.com? I've said that many times. Here the Jews are saying it. Christian, are you on the side of the Holy Scriptures, or are you following the traditions of men and going the way of Judaism by overriding the Word of God with man-made Antichrist traditions? All right, going on. Quote, Jesus repeatedly refers to the historical Jewish crimes of killing divine messengers such as Zechariah. And Luke, Matthew, and John each mention separate Jewish attempts at Jesus' life even before the crucifixion. Hello, they're making my case for me. He goes on, the most damning target of Jewish prophet killing obsession isn't even Jesus, it's Paul. While the Jews try to kill Jesus no more than four times, they try to kill Paul no less than nine in Damascus, Jerusalem, Iconium, Lystra, Thessalonica, Corinth, twice again in Jerusalem, and on the road from Caesarea. The Romans, of course, were there to save him. Those aside, the New Testament depicts the Jews killing Stephen, proving Herod's killing of James, and instigating plots to kill Lazarus and Peter. I've covered this endlessly at bloodandfaith.com. All right, all I did is open up the Holy Scriptures and read the Holy Scriptures. That's all I did. And it's right there. It's right in your face. These Jews understand that. These Jews understand that. And they make the argument that absolutely the Holy Scriptures, the Greek Scriptures, the New Testament, however you want to call it, are, in their words, anti-Semitic. I argue that anti-Semitism is not a sin. It's a construct designed to protect Jews regardless of what they're guilty of. That's all it is. We're above criticism, they say. And any type of criticism, it's called anti-Semitic. Somehow the Christians have bought into that tradition of man. All right, and he goes on, quote, as bad as what the New Testament has to say about the Jews is what it has to say about Judaism.
I love it.
I love it. Is that not what I've been saying? And that it is in need of replacement. Here we go. Have I not said this? Quote, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells the Jews, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you Jews and given to a people who will produce its fruit. John takes the metaphor further, terrifyingly further, calling Jewish people a fruitless vine waiting to be axed, cut down, and thrown into a fire. This is exactly what the Holy Scriptures say. How is it the Jews can read the Holy Scriptures and they recognize what it says, and Christians have taken up traditions of men to overrule what the Holy Scriptures say? That's why I criticize the Judaizing influence in the Christian evangelical church. We're going the way of the Jews, man. Developing our own Talmud, our own traditions to overrule the Word of God. Can it continue? Quote, given this narrative in the New Testament, how can Christians today be Israel's greatest friends? Great question. Great question. That's what I'm saying. How can Christians be the Jews' greatest friends if this is the narrative of the New Testament? All right, here's the answer. This is exactly everything I've been teaching you guys about for the last 2 years. Quote, because we understand the written verses of any Bible through their oral interpretations. There you go. That's the leaven of the Pharisees right there. That's the Talmud right there. Oral interpretations. Oh, it says that, but it doesn't mean that. Quote, in Judaism, the Torah, or the written law, cannot exist without the Talmud, the oral law. That's what this guy said. This is what I've been warning you about. We've got oral traditions that overrule the written word of God, just like the Jews did. Quote, ultimately, the question of whether the New Testament is or is not anti-Semitic is itself a game of interpretation. But the fact does not liberate modern Christians from their responsibility to disarm those parts of the Christian Bible that look negatively upon the Jews. Let me read that again. Modern Christians have the responsibility to disarm those parts of the Bible that look negatively upon the Jews. This is from the Jerusalem Post. It's called No Holds Barred, Is the New Testament Anti-Semitic? This is published August 5th, 2019. This is his whole point. This is what they want. I'll finish up the end of the article here. The Jewish community, this is a quote, the Jewish community should work with our Christian brothers, you mean your Judeo-Christian brothers, to ensure that any anti-Semitic verses in one of the most widely read Bibles on the earth be formally repudiated and reinterpreted clearly, securely, and anew. There you go. That's the goal of the Jews. The goal of the Jews is the repudiation of the Word of God. It was their goal before Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, hey, if you believed in Moses, you would have believed in me. Here, 2019, Jerusalem Post, Jews, writing for Jews about protecting Jews. And he says, our goal, to ensure that any anti-Semitic verses in the New Testament be formally repudiated and reinterpreted clearly, securely, and anew. Church, why do you side with the Antichrist? Why do you side with the Antichrist above the Word of God? I've been saying this. I've been saying this for 2 years. Here's Jews that have been saying it. They've been saying it for longer than I have. All right. Here is a Christian take on the same theme. This is from 2018, November 2018, written by in a Christian, some sort of Christian website. All right. This is an Australian Christian website. They believe they are good quality Christians spreading the love of Jesus. It's titled, the article is Anti-Semitic Tone in the New Testament is Not the Message of Jesus. Well, there you go. Here are supposedly Christians, evangelical Christians, saying that the New Testament is anti-Semitic and basically that the tone of the New Testament is not the message of Jesus. Okay, the church has gone the way of the Jews, got her own Talmud, banning the Word of God for our oral traditions. This is Antichrist. We're already worshiping the Antichrist. So this is by Anne Rinaldo. And she's talking about this Catholic theologian. Warns Christians they should understand the context of New Testament writings and that the anti-Semitic Jews killed Jesus tone arose from tensions between the church and the synagogue when the stories were written down generations after the time of Jesus. Oh, these are just stories. They're written down generations after Jesus. In other words, no. This anti-Semitic tone, we cannot accept this. They've replaced the Word of God with their own man-made traditions. All right, here is what he said. The New Testament, which reflects not Christ's opinion, but rather developments within the early church. Okay, so here's what he's saying. He's saying that the Holy Scriptures do not reflect Christ's opinion. He's saying that the Holy Scriptures are not the Word of God. This supposedly Christian man is saying that the Holy Scriptures is not the Word of God. They don't reflect Christ's opinion, but rather developments within the early church. Utterly rejecting the Holy Scriptures as the Holy Scriptures. All right, this is a Catholic theologian, and this his points of view are being propagated and magnified in a Protestant evangelical journal. All right, here's a little quote. Jesus was Jewish. All right, I've spent a lot of time on the Jewishism of Jesus or the non-Jewishism of Jesus. Father of Jesus Christ was not a Jew. Genealogy is patriarchal only in the Holy Scripture. If that is true, and it is true, in what sense can Jesus Christ possibly be a Jew? I mean, you got to overcome that. But they're trying to remake Jesus Christ into a Jew. And so we end up with the worship of the Jews. Here we go. All of this is to say that this kind of anti-Semitic, anti-Pharisaic tendency that is incorporated into the Gospels, at least he recognizes that, becomes therefore factual, and then the religious imagination draws on this and portrays the Jews as evil, crying out for the death of Jesus. All of which is true. The Jews were evil. They cried out for the death of Jesus. They reject the books of Moses. They reject the law. They killed the prophets, and they murdered the Son of God. Now, if you want to invent man-made traditions in order to subvert the Word of God and make friendship with the world, well, James 4:4. To be a friend with the world is to be at enmity with God, to have enmity with Almighty God. James 4:4 refers right back to Genesis 3:15. Enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. All right, this theme is not going away. I will be talking about this theme forever for the rest of my life because it is core to the Holy Scriptures. Even the Jews know that it is core to the Holy Scriptures. And the Christians, you're so afraid of being called a dirty name. Racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, or Islamophobic. You're so terrified of what Satan's going to say about you that you yearn to run and bend the knee to the Antichrist. so they don't call you anti-Semitic. Where Jesus Christ said, hey, if they call me Beelzebul, what are they going to call you? Christians, you're in error. You're wrong. You're in error. Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com. Out.